The word of the Lord this morning is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. Two things I ask of you, Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Our Father, we thank you for the blessings, the richness of your word, which is constantly and consistently planted into our lives as we turn to it and as we allow your word, which is your revelation, to instruct us and to guide us along life's paths. We can make life, you make life's path your path. And so we are lifted up. In the name of Christ, we rejoice. Amen. Around 2007, a movie came out starring Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman, and you probably know the title, The Bucket List, in which they portray a couple of patients with terminal cancer who leave their cancer ward in order to accomplish these things that they have listed on their to-do lists before they die. Or, as the metaphor goes, before they kick the bucket. Culturally, the movie popularized this concept of listing things that are deemed important and getting them done before you die. And I've still never seen the movie. It's not on my bucket list. But nevertheless, in this day and age, if something becomes popularized, you hear about it, whether you watch it or read it or whatever. But now, on the other hand, reading God's Word is on my bucket list. So it was while revisiting the book of Proverbs that the connection was made between the modern fascination with bucket lists and and what's written here in Proverbs. It pretty much jumped out at me in Proverbs 30, verse 7. Two things I ask you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Seems like Agur, the author of these Proverbs, might have had his own bucket list. Not surprisingly, an internet search turns up several bucket list ideas. There are some fairly common things listed, like travel, skydiving, learning to dance, creating a better relationship with a family member or friend. You get the idea. You can think, you know, we all think of our own. Agur's very brief list got me to wondering what might be on someone's list who is seeking to follow God. Agur requests two things, which I'll get to. What might be some other requests on our bucket list we might ask the Lord to provide before we die? I'll begin with what is frequently the conclusion of an evangelical sermon, salvation. Agur's question might be rephrased, "One thing I ask of you, O Lord, do not refuse me before I die, save my soul." In Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37, Jesus tells a crowd, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? A bucket list may contain any number of dreams and goals, but if it fails to include belief in Jesus as Savior, it is a list that will not amount to much. Everything is at stake here. We either live in the presence of the Lord or we don't. Those are the two states of our eternal existence. We live in the presence of the Lord, or we don't. The disciple Thomas asked Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus replied, "I am the way, I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The whole of Scripture reveals God's redemptive will. As we aptly and accurately note, a wonderful summation of the gospel is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It is indeed sad that such overwhelming love as this is dismissed so commonly in our day. It is indeed sad that some, and far too many, even attempt to use God's grace against him. Peter dealt with skeptics too, who scoffed at the notion of a returning Savior. In a passage to which I referred last week, Peter responded to the skeptics, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." That's pretty inclusive. Everyone to come to repentance. And it's too bad that the audience is watching the bucket list were deceived with false hope and short-term emotional satisfaction instead of with God's truth of eternal hope and joy. If seeking salvation through God's gift in Jesus Christ has never been or is not on your list, then you might as well wad up your list and throw it away. It is useless. Begin your list this way: "One thing I ask of you, O Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Save my soul." The overwhelmingly good news is that this is exactly what the Lord promises to fulfill, and God always keeps his promises. He delights in it. It is after asking the Lord for salvation and receiving it that we can and should seek his direction on further action items on our bucket list. This is where we return to Agur's list: "Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me." Imagine all the things that a person might include on his or her list. If you happen to see the movie, think of the things that Nicholson and Freeman had on their lists. How many lists do you think included a request for honesty? Agur requested God to make him an honest person by keeping him from telling falsehoods and lies. Coming home from work, a woman stopped at the corner deli to buy a chicken for supper. And the butcher reaches into his barrel, grabs the last chicken he had, throws it on the scales, and tells her the weight. The woman says, "I really need a bit more than that, a little bigger chicken than that. Do you have any larger ones?" Well, without saying anything, he took that one, put it back in the barrel, fished around like he had another chicken in there, pulls it out, slaps it on the scale. "Oh, this one's a pound heavier. Great, I'll take both of them." Honesty really is the best policy. That butcher certainly can attend to his own bucket list. In contrast, a senior soccer player at Wheaton Christian High School in Illinois, Rob Mao, practiced honesty in 1995 in the closing seconds of a game against Waubonsie Valley, a team that was ranked high in the state. Mao managed a breakaway and kicked the winning goal. With Wheaton fans cheering the upset and Waubonsie fans protesting that the goal was late, Mao walked to the referee and asked whether the official time was kept on the scoreboard or the referee's stopwatch. And the scoreboard time, he was told, was official. He went on to explain to the referee that just before the kick, he had seen zeros on the scoreboard clock. Not having heard the whistle, though, he continued to play through. But his goal was late, and he did not think it should count. The referee reversed the call, rewarding the game to Waubonsie. That night, Mao went home to his homework. "I didn't think much about it," he says. "I hadn't done anything that great. For me, acting honestly was just a reflection of Christ in me." Nationally syndicated sports writer Bob Green heard and then wrote about the event, "If you're sick of the direction sports in this country have been taking, from the preening and taunting of Deion Sanders and his many followers to the tiresome bickering between millionaire professional athletes and the millionaire owners of the teams, then here's a sports story for you." And he closed his column by quoting Mao, "Every time in your life you have an opportunity to do right, you should be thankful. For a person to know what is right and then do not do it, that would be a sin. To have won the game, I mean, really, who cares? Doing the right thing is more important. It lets you have peace." Days later, Mao received a handwritten letter. "Dear Rob, I read Bob Green's wonderful column about you. I love sports and true sportsmen. My faith in our future was renewed and lifted by that column. Never lose your principles. Always stand for what's decent and right. That's what you told us all when you refused the victory. The signature, former President George H.W. Bush." It sounds to me as if Rob Mao got his list in order at an early age. Christians have a witness to maintain. Our witness is not very good if we do not keep falsehood and lies far away from us. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. And just as a postscript, Rob Mao went on to play soccer for Wheaton College, which won a national championship in 1997. Then Agur made a second request. "Two things I ask of you, O Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread." Again, this is probably not the kind of request that is going to show up on many bucket lists. Nevertheless, it is a useful request to make as we follow the Lord. Recall that as they begin their journey across the wilderness to the promised land, God responded to the Israelites' request for food. "Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." Well, as the scripture tells us in Exodus, some failed to follow the precise instructions. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell, so Moses was angry with them. God provided sufficiently for their daily needs. We note many times throughout scripture that God's grace often exceeds our basic needs. God loves to give his people so much that he frequently multiplies the blessings on endeavors to those who are faithful to him. Moses even anticipated this when he gathered the assembly together to instruct them, as is recorded in Deuteronomy. "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today." If you want to put your finger on a major source of the problems facing nations today, it is directly related to these verses. We have failed to give humble thanks to God for all he has given us. He has given us so much, even more than he blessed the Israelites with in human terms. Yet we have turned our backs on him. I do not know of any developed nation in the world today that honors the Lord at the national level. I know that Christians throughout those nations worship and honor God. That's why we're here this morning. But we have so much more a national attitude of arrogance and hatefulness and outright distaste expressed toward God that I wonder how much more he will take. I think that he is already in the process of removing his blessings from many of these nations, including our own. We'll just have to see if the message gets through. Anyway, Agur had the proper perspective. He openly states the reason for his request, for this request. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. I think that's a pretty astute observation. You know, I don't really know that Agur was compiling a bucket list, but he did ask the Lord to grant him these two requests before he died. I'm pretty sure that born-again Christians seeking to serve the Lord can come up with many other things to add to any personal list. Maybe serving as a Christian missionary locally or far afield. Maybe passing on our Christian legacy and experience by mentoring a boy or a girl. Maybe using our material blessings to help another person grow in and serve the Lord. Our list can go on for some length. But it all has a beginning. The movie that prompted this focus on bucket lists has its tender emotional moments, which I read about in reviews. It even has lessons about the superiority of relationships over the emptiness of materialism. Sadly, though, its failure to go beyond materialism and earthbound relationships still leaves an unaddressed void in the lives of all who have watched the movie and even been touched by it. As I said at the outset, if crying out to God for salvation is not on your list, you're not going to get very far. All the other requests will be an exercise in futility. They will lead only to death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Only through the loving mercy of God, by the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ, can we receive eternal life with him. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Submitting to the Lord and committing our request to the Lord. Now that's what we should see and call our bucket list.